Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And thanks for being here. Joan Pride is with us. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She joins us every week to talk to us about the myriad, count the myriad, things that Kiplinger talks about every week in their in the most recent Kiplinger letter, the flagship publication of that outstanding American family-owned third-generation business. Joan Pride, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. Thank you very much.
It's good to have you back.
Good to be back.
So, now, which part of the family are you, Joan?
Which part of... You mean the black sheep?
Yeah, that's right.
See,
that's
I'm working right. with you this time.
That's, you sure, you're paying attention. That's good.
Yeah.
Hey, Joan, you guys reported on Friday that the bear market is over on Wall Street. And then Monday happened.
Yeah, then Monday happened. Well, we didn't say there might not be a dip or two here.
A dip or two. How do you spell that? A dip or two. Well, you know, the stock market has been a little bit funky this week, hasn't it? It's been in a little bit of a funk this week. And,
yes.
And first, I have to remind people, and I said this earlier, Joan, I promised the Wall Street guys that if they wouldn't do small business, I wouldn't do stocks. And so
we're not
going to talk about that. Yeah, we both pretty much stayed true to our promises. but it is important, I think, to note. I do think that it's a path to insanity to try to follow Wall Street very much,
yeah.
You know, too closely. But I do think, though, that the stock market does react to news, to good news, to bad news, to no news. And I think this week, with the stock market being sort of down and a little bit sideways more of in the last day or so, I do think that it's just not seeing anything all that exciting about what's going on in the economy.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. That's right.
And I also think that... That some of it is a reaction. I mean, these are business people.
Sure.
Don't forget, folks, Wall Street is about business, ladies and gentlemen. It's not about nonprofits. It's not about kumbaya. You know, it's not about hug your grandmother.
Right.
This is business, and so I think business people, you know, are troubled by this talk of new regulations. Never mind whether they're needed or whether they're going to be great. Great or not, it's new stuff. It's new, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's unknown.
Yeah, it is new.
It's unknown.
Yeah.
And those kinds of things are not going to weigh happily on the stock market. So,
right.
So folks, for that's Joan. That's it for my commentary on Wall Street.
Okay.
On the stock market, you got anything else?
No, I'm just dismantling the soapbox here. I'm kind of busy.
Hey. Let's talk about, though, the outstanding table of economic forecasts that you guys...
Well, thank you.
We haven't discussed this in a while. You guys got an outstanding table of economic forecasts here. GDP, you've got some new stuff there. You're saying that it's going to flatten out by year-end. What does that mean?
Well, and then we say then up by year-end, actually. So
okay.
I guess it's going to gradually rise. I think we've been in negative territory right now.
Yeah.
So I guess we'd be flat at some point and then tick upward.
So we still, as far as I know, we're still projecting a negative GDP in the second quarter?
As far as I know, yeah.
I haven't heard anybody say anything different.
Yeah. And I don't know that we're saying, I don't know what we're saying that the year overall will be considered up. I have a feeling that answer is no.
No, no, no.
You're
going to
see a little uptick at the end of the year, but it won't be enough to offset the downward slide earlier in the year.
2009 overall will be a recessionary year.
Yeah, right.
But what we hope for, what we believe will happen, and I predicted this in the beginning of the year, is that by the end of the year, by fourth quarter, certainly to some degree in the second half, but mostly fourth quarter, We still won't like the number. It won't overcome what's already happened.
Right.
But we will like the trend.
Right.
That's what a lot of people are thinking, and it sounds like that's what Kiplinger's saying as well.
Yeah.
So we would be happy. I think a lot of people would be happy if third quarter was sort of like a flatliner, and fourth quarter was like, you know, 0.5% positive or something.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be like, whoa, you know, rock and roll here. So folks, and this comes back to what I've been saying before about needing to continue to operate for survival, but plan for success. And Joan, when I've been talking about that, what I mean by that is we still got to watch our cash. We still have to, don't take a flyer. Still not a 2009. Still not the time. This time point in 2009 is not the time to take a flyer. Don't get out on the leading edge, because that's very near the bleeding edge. But also realize that as the economy turns, and as it is right now turning, there are opportunities that we got to take advantage of and be prepared, because if we just curl up in a fetal position, you know, that's when you get run over. That's the death wish there.
Right.
Okay. Interest rates. Talk to us about interest rates.
Well, interest rates, we say prime rate 3.25%, but we do say that the 10-year Treasury is going to be volatile and will end the year down a little bit.
Right. Well, now, and of course, the prime rate, folks, if you didn't know, prime is what banks charge their best customers, and which, by the way, small business owners, is not you. Probably for every 100 small business owners, Joan, who borrow money from a bank, one might get prime. It's just the way it is. I mean, small businesses live in prime plus, in the world of prime plus.
Plus a little bit, right?
No matter what they're...
Not too much.
Well, no, sometimes a lot.
Really? Ooh.
And a lot of small businesses are just so glad to get the loan, they don't even look at the rate.
Oh, gosh.
No, I'm serious. And the truth is, Joan, with the Fed funds rate at 0.25%, mm-hmm. which is what it is right now, lowest in history, I guess, lowest in my life, you add 3 on top of that. Prime is 3 points above, typically 3 points above the Fed funds rate, so it's now 3.25%.
Mm-hmm.
So small business owners will pay prime plus 2, 3, 4, or even 5. It's still just 8%. Now that's a lot, but it's a rate small business can live with, and the truth is, we often don't have a choice. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Beats. And we are airplanes today.
I live on the palm and on the 99th floor of my life. Little Stones bringing us back. 23 after, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out and use it. We built it just for you. We got lots of stuff there. The newsletter, the blog, the knowledge base, archives, articles, the brain trust, and you want to listen, you want to read, you want to ask a question, we got lots of stuff that will help you with your small business, the one you got that you have already or the one you want to start. And, of course, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do that at Jim Blasingame. Joan Pratt is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and we're talking at this moment about the economic forecast that Kiplinger has to say. Joan, you and I, Kiplinger and I, agree 100% on this inflation thing. Tell us about that.
Well, we say rising for several months. Now, we don't have any more detail than that, but that's going to be an interesting, and not in a good way, interesting indicator to watch.
Now, this is one of the most interesting elements of the economy, Joan, because everything that typically has the most influence on prices are pointing downward.
Mm-hmm.
Small businesses, on the most recent NFIB report, small businesses cannot raise prices. They're actually having to lower prices.
Oh.
There's downward pressure on pricing. There's significant downward pressure on wages.
Mm.
So all the classic and other issues. A lot of the commodities are down. Of course, oil and gold are up, but some of the other commodities are down. But all the classic, many of the classic elements of pricing, of inflationary prices, are pointing downward. And yet, you guys, I think correctly, have an upward arrow with regard to inflation.
Well, please explain that.
I think it has to do with monetary policy. Monetary policy. I mean, Joe, think about this. You know, one of the reasons why we have this problem that we've got right now is because after 9/11, the Fed had a very accommodative monetary policy, meaning they flooded the market with a lot of cash.
Right.
You remember that. We talked
sure.
about it on the show.
Yeah.
After Y2K, especially.
Oh, yeah.
Y2K and two things hit. Y2K and then right behind it, the 9/11 attacks.
Right.
And the Fed, in both cases, the Fed was scared to death that there would be some kind of seizing up of the money flow. In fact, in advance of Y2K, I think they were afraid people would hoard money, you know, would hoard cash.
Especially after Y2K, yeah.
And so a lot of that cash got into the marketplace, and it really created all the leverage that's out there. It didn't create a lot of inflation.
Right.
But Joan, the money that's being put into the marketplace, the stimulus, et cetera, by the government, the printing of money is unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
How could that not be inflationary?
Well, I don't know.
So I think that's what you guys are calling here.
Probably.
I may be wrong. You know, I'm a dangerous frustrated economist. but I really think that anything you can do to lock in interest rates on real estate, especially right now, on your business, on your home, anything you could do to lock in those rates right now, 30 years, you know, if it's 5.5 and you can't stand it, it ought to be 5, you just on principle don't want to, you're not going to pay an extra half percent, guess what, folks, get over it, pay it, lock it in.
Yeah.
If it's 6, I don't care if it's 6.5%. Lock it in. I think in 5 years you'd be glad you did.
Well, do they need to lock it in, say, next week, or do they have a month or two before things really go haywire?
Well, okay, fine. But, I mean, it's this year.
Yeah, this year.
As soon as possible, as soon as you can.
Right.
But, Joan, I hear people saying, can you believe the rates have gone back up to 5.25%?
Yes, I know.
I'm thinking, what?
Yeah.
Are you nuts? Are you crazy? Lock it in. Say thank you. Pay for it. Say thank you.
Right.
What do you want to? It ain't gonna go. If it goes to there, we got bigger problems.
That's right.
So lock it in. Joan, unemployment, another era we don't like.
Well, that's true. We say it's going to peak above 10% in early 2010. So, but I mean, although that isn't good, obviously, we have to keep in mind, I think, that unemployment is a lagging economic indicator.
Yep.
So if we see a peak, then that's, I think, a very good sign.
Yeah, but Joan, this employment recovery is going to be painful. You know, we had a painful one after the last recession, and you remember what they called it, the jobless recovery in 2002 and 2003. A lot of people were having a hard time getting a job after the 2000. Stock market crash and all that.
Yeah.
This one's going to be like that again, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And because a lot of people who are out of work right now, Joan.
Right.
The jobs that they left, when they're not going to even going to be there anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, they're not. I mean, how many Wall Street guys are going to get to walk back down to Wall Street and pick up another job like they had before? And,
sure.
and of course that's just one sector. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of things that are changing, and I really believe that we're going to have, it could be, Joan. I predict it could be 5 years before we have anything below 5.5% unemployment.
Wow.
And that's if the economy keeps going great.
Right.
It could take a while. So strap in, folks. Buckle up. That part's going to be tough, I think. 29 after. Stay with us. Right back with Joan Pride. She's with the Kiplinger Editors. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm with you.
Jim Blasingame. He's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with us. We've got Joan Pride here with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, we're talking about the economic forecast. I want to move down the page just a little bit and say that I'm glad to see you guys are forecasting the housing starts to be up in the second half of 2009. That's good news.
Boy, that's huge, because I would think housing sales in this case would have to be kind of a leading indicator.
Yeah, clearly a leading indicator.
Yeah.
And as long as interest rates stay where they are, that's going to be a good thing.
That's right.
Also, retail. You guys got an up arrow for retail for the second half. Thank God. We need that. We need the consumer to come back to the marketplace, don't we?
Well, and that's something we were talking about in the office the other day, is that this upcoming back to school and Christmas season, you know, these are the big times for retailers during the year, and this is going to be more important than ever, I think.
You also predicted that crude oil was going to continue to go up, and Joan, over on page two, that's being borne out by what you think is going to be a surge up to maybe $85 a barrel. Now Joan, having only barely a year ago when it was 143, a surge up to 85 doesn't sound that bad, but it kind of hurts a little, doesn't it?
True. Well, we shouldn't be wringing our hands yet, but if we thought that this wasn't going to peak, I think we would be worried.
Well, and there are a lot of reasons for it. You guys say it's a lot of speculation, right?
Yeah, that's typical,
the
right?
Hedge funds, yeah. But you know, I've been doing some reading and studying and talking to some people about that, and I'm not an expert on this, Joan, but you know, the speculators are buying the marginal barrels, the last barrel out of the ground, and of course what that does, the last barrel out of the ground sets the price for all the other barrels already out of the ground.
Okay.
Part of it is speculation, but what they're speculating on is, what is it going to cost? You know, what are the prices going to be? What's the availability of oil going to be in the future?
Right.
That's what speculation is.
Yeah.
And the more we have an environment where oil is bad and wind is good, then that means we're not going to drill for as much. We're going to be talking it down. We're going to be not using as much in our cars, et cetera, et cetera. That is affecting the price of oil.
Right.
So these are all parts of it, folks. If you like green, and I do too, I like green as much as the next guy, Joan. But if you want green, one of the things it's going to cost to have that green is the more green we have, the higher I think oil prices are going to be.
Yeah.
And so just get over it, Joan. On trade, this is really an interesting topic. I've been warning about protectionism for over a year now.
Yes.
I've been saying that I'm concerned about protectionism by America. I've been worried that America was going to become more protectionist. And there is some Buy America provisions, as you guys report, in some legislation, isn't there?
Well, that's right.
And that's a problem, I think. But Joan, we're hearing it from other countries too, aren't we?
Well, exactly,
China,
and that's
Canada,
why this is so interesting, sure.
China and Canada both are doing this. We've been reading this more lately. In fact, I saw a headline the other day, I think it was a headline, or maybe it was in the article. It said part of China's economic stimulus is a campaign to buy China. How about that?
Interesting, very
Yeah,
interesting.
don't buy American, buy yeah. China. Don't buy Canadian, buy China. So Joan, everybody, as Jimmy Durante would say, everybody wants to get in the act.
Yeah.
But there's one specific thing that you guys report on, and that's the Obama's temptation to protect unions. The steel workers, right?
Oh, right. We're saying that's a test that's looming for him. The United Steelworkers Union wants to slash imports from 46 million last year to the 2005 level of 21 million, which would be a huge drop.
Protectionism.
Right. And we think We think Obama will go along.
Well, that was a Freudian slip, Joan, because Bush is the bellwether for this. President Bush, in about 2002, I think, or maybe 2003, he did something very similar. He put a little bit of a tariff of some kind, I've forgotten exactly the application, on steel.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped 250,000 steel workers, but it harmed 2 million people who work with steel.
Ah.
See, it's not just the steel workers. These unintended consequences, folks, every time the government needs to understand the Newton's law of physics, you know, the equal and opposite reaction thing. And that's what President Obama needs to pay attention to. All he has to do is go back about 6 years and see that it didn't work. 20 till. Stay with us.
Well, I sort of tired of crying, but I'm out on the road again. I'm on the road.
Little canned heat bringing us back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate. Joan Pride is our guest, and she's with the Kiplinger Editors, and they got some outstanding publications that I always like telling you about. The Kiplinger Letter is the 80, let's see, Joan, 86 years old. Jeez. It's going to be 86 this September.
Wow.
86 years almost. It's been in the marketplace as the preeminent letter for business. The snippets, as I said before, you guys were twittering before the 80 years before there was Twitter. I mean, these little snippets, folks. They look like they're a little more than a Twitter. They're a little more than 140 characters.
Not much,
but not too much more. And so that's the Kiplinger Letter. That's just a great formula that this American family-owned small business has been cranking out all these years.
Yep,
third generation, and of course they've got, that's the weekly that comes every Friday afternoon, and or Monday if you get it by mail, and you can get it by email on Friday. And then, of course, they've got their biweekly letters, the California letter, the tax letter, the agriculture letter, and the biofuels letter. How's that one doing, Joan?
I don't know. I assume it's doing okay. But, marketing just doesn't come into my office.
You're not the biofuels expert there, Joan? What's the problem?
Me? Oh, gosh, no. I'm the currency expert, remember?
That's right, currency expert. And then, of course, they got a magazine thing.
That's right, Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And I always like telling you about their website, Kiplinger.com. It's the outstanding website. If you want to get to all the things that they offer, including the publications, just subscribe right there on their website.
Right.
And they got a 30-day free trial. And what about a phone number?
Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
So check that out.
Yes.
Joan, let's talk about one more thing on this protectionism thing.
Mm-hmm.
I love quoting Frederick Bastiat. Frederick Bastiat was a 19th century, middle 19th century French economist / comedian.
Okay.
And I call him a comedian because he was so funny. The way he liked to stick his finger in the eye of the mercantilists, the protectionists.
Yeah.
The way he liked to stick his finger in their eye, he always did it with such great flair and and savoir-faire and humor and wit. And he said, and I'm paraphrasing him just a teeny tiny bit for a 21st century audience. He said, when goods cross borders, armies don't.
Oh, yes. That's one of your favorites.
I love that quote. And, folks, free trade is the mother's milk of the future of the global economy.
Yep.
It's just so important. And when I see China talking about buying China, America by protecting their steel.
Right.
Canada could do the same thing. I mean, you know, Joan, this movie's already been made. This protectionist movie's already been made. It was made in 1933
mm-hmm.
with the Smoot-Hawley tariff.
Right.
And that, more than anything else, ladies and gentlemen, don't let anybody else tell you different. More than anything else, protectionism created the Great Depression.
Ah.
It had help. Higher taxes by Hoover and other mistakes by the government. But the Fed didn't do their job either. But the protectionism of the 30s did more to create, and probably, Joan, with regard to Japan, probably World War II.
Well, that's interesting.
When goods cross borders, Joan, armies don't. And yeah. Roosevelt would have done well to have understood that with the Japanese, I think.
Oh, that's right.
So think about that, folks. When you hear people talk about protectionism, mm-hmm. it's not good. It's bad for the future. Joan, let's move down. iPhones. Are you going to rush out today and buy a new iPhone, aren't you?
A new iPhone. That's assuming I have an old iPhone.
How much were they when they first came out? Like $400.
I know nothing about iPhone.
The very first nothing. iPhone was like $400.
I believe. Well, yeah, $399 or something.
Yeah,
right, I think
you can
right.
buy it today for $99. The same iPhone. Maybe it's probably better than the first one. For $99, you can buy one with a little bit more power, a little bit more memory, for $200.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want the full boat 3G atomic rock and roll iPhone, that's going to cost you $300.
Gee.
So, Joan, which one do you want?
I got to think about this for a while.
I've got BlackBerry. I've been using BlackBerries for years. I like my BlackBerries.
Mm-hmm.
But Joan, when I'm around my friends with iPhones, I feel like a Luddite.
Really?
Oh yeah, yeah. I feel like I've got two cans. I'm talking on the end of a can to somebody
wow.
else. The BlackBerry is a wonderful business device, but those iPhones have got some cool stuff.
Really?
Oh yeah. Oh, I mean, it's just and the applications are rolling out. Steve Jobs is he's a genius, and so.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm being pulled toward the iPhone, Joan.
Wow!
So I'm thinking about it.
Into the 21st century.
All the way into the that's exactly. No, I've got the latest BlackBerry, Joan. I've got
but you still listen to music from the 50s.
Well, this good stuff, Joan. Classic stuff never goes bad. Joan, let's move over and talk about deficits. Back to the the government involvement. The administration is projecting huge deficits, isn't it?
Right, and one of the interesting things to me is, and I'm seeing it in today's paper as well, is that, Obama has great poll ratings in general, but in this one area, the American people aren't stupid. They realize that
right.
he doesn't have a plan, or if he does have a plan, they don't think it's going to work to reduce the deficit.
Yep, and as we said earlier, Joan, when we talked about inflation, see, the deficits and trying to spend money, crank out money to cover the deficits and borrowing money from other sovereignties is all going to be inflationary. And
right.
And I'm telling you, folks, this is one area that we got a lot of trouble right here in River City. Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out. Don't forget, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Joan, what is your Twitter address?
Well, I don't even know what you're talking
Joan,
about.
Joan Pride.
No idea.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with the Kipling Editors, the high-functioning social networking gadfly, right, Joan?
If whatever.
Hey, Joan, these deficits we were talking about earlier.
Yes.
Pretty much, even my extremely conservative, fiscally conservative friends
mm-hmm.
have said that the government just about had to crank out the cash to pull out some of these things and have created some of the deficits. Some of those deficits were kind of necessary. A lot of people think there are people who think that they weren't, and that we should have let AIG fail, we should have let Citi fail, like we did with some of the others. We should have let General Motors, bankrupt in Chrysler 6-8 months ago.
Right.
But be that as it may, there are people on both sides of the fence. Some of the deficits, though, are going to be created by new policies, right? Like the health care.
Yeah.
Proposals.
Right.
My only point in bringing that up, Joan, mm-hmm. is when people are evaluating the government's performance, especially with regard to deficits,
right.
There really are two issues. One are the deficits that were created to deal with the really big problem that we had in the economy, and the others are the ones that are kind of optional. Now, I hope you'll notice how even-handed I'm being about this. I'm not making a value judgment. I'm just saying that they are optional. And so as you're evaluating the administration, you know, be sure to put those policies, those steps that they've taken, into those two categories. I think it'll help you make a better decision. John, let's move down and talk about OSHA, one of my favorite organizations. It's clearly under new management.
Yes.
Tell us about this.
Well, we're saying it has an aggressive agenda. There's a rule coming out of it on combustible dust, and it would affect, we say, many solids ground into fine particles.
Mm-hmm.
And because these could cause an explosion if they're not handled properly.
It's happened.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of factories, they've got a lot of dust, and
right.
And what happens is it gets diffused into the air.
Right.
And it actually is it's just tiny particles, but they do have mass.
Right.
Burnable mass, combustible mass.
So it gets into your lungs, I guess, and it creates havoc.
Well, it can get in your lungs, but the thing is, though, is you know, if a fire breaks, if something, if you light a match,
mm-hmm.
And there's just air there,
yeah,
then nothing burns but the match.
Yeah.
But if the air around it has diffused particles in it to a certain critical mass, then the air ignites.
Oh, gee.
That's what, and it explodes. That's that's what they're talking about. So, okay, that's a good thing. One of the things that I hope OSHA doesn't do, Joan, is resort to the old ways of OSHA, which with regard to small businesses meant that they'd come in and they'd catch you doing something bad,
mm-hmm.
and they put you under the jail, charge you a lot of money, fine you, et cetera, maybe put you out of business, maybe even put you in jail.
Yeah.
And then OSHA said, wait a minute, why don't we become part of the solution, not part of the problem?
Mm-hmm.
So they would actually give people the opportunity to turn themselves in or to invite OSHA to come in, and with the understanding that if OSHA found something, you weren't going to be attacked. You were just going to be informed of what you had to do, and you were going to be helped to fix it.
So it's more of a cooperative
kind
of relationship.
Exactly. So
well,
I hope.
Could you have bad actors who take advantage of that policy?
Well, yes, you do. But most small business owners are not bad actors like that. They just don't know. They just don't have all the. They got too much to do.
Right.
They can't read all the OSHA regulations. So I hope that doesn't happen, Joan. I hope this new aggressiveness doesn't happen. But Joan, taxes. Talk to us about the taxes.
How much time do I have?
Not much.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Go ahead.
Well, we're saying that we had said that Obama's tax plan is actually a small tax cut for the wealthy because the 28% bracket isn't being ratcheted up even as the 35% and the 33% are being ratcheted up. There's kind of a gap there that would allow people at the higher end there the beginning, I guess, of the new 36% bracket to get a little bit of a tax cut. But the AMT is going to spoil that, is the bottom line.
Alternative minimum tax.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, thanks, Joan, for being here.
Thank you.
Good job. We'll see you next time. Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.